Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
We are living in a world where our culture is overwhelming so many people. And I'm not discouraged because I do believe that, again, like I said last week, the darker the night, the brighter the light. We have the grand opportunity of being part of the Church of Jesus Christ, being a New Testament local church that can shine forth and manifest the truth of God's Word in these last days. I'm excited about that. More and more people are open to the gospel than were open maybe 6 years ago. I'm seeing more people get born again. And you might be thinking while you're sitting there, man, I'm not seeing that. Well, maybe you need to start witnessing. Because I'm telling you, there are people hungry and thirsty for truth and light in every direction. There are people confused and mixed up, trying to raise young families, and they're wondering, what is it all about? How can it get any worse? What is the meaning of this, and why is that happening in our lives right now at this point, or in our country right now at this point? And I want you to know there's an answer to all of this. And the Church of Jesus Christ has a God-given responsibility to be right with God right up until the sound of the trumpet. If you would stand one more time, let's look at 1 Kings. 1 Kings and chapter, we'll start with verse 16. I just want to read 3-4 verses out of here. Just by way of introduction, 1 Kings chapter 16. And then the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Ahab to reign in Omri to reign over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. And Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord, don't miss this, above all that were before him. Ahab was an evil, wicked king of Israel. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and he took his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Notice what's said here. Sin was a light thing to Ahab. Could take it or leave it. It was casual. God won't matter if I partake in this. That was Ahab's attitude. God probably isn't even really paying attention. This is just a little white sin, is all it is. It's just a little off color. It's not dark and wicked and evil. That was the king's attitude. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. See, it's getting worse and worse. Oh, I didn't finish verse 31. And it came to pass, as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him, and reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. And I think of Michigan. And I think of 60 million abortions. Here's how it was. This last year, do you know, for every 1,000 live births, there were 200 babies aborted in America. It's not a light thing. There's blood on our hands as a nation. I think of the United States of America, how far we are from God. Third largest mission field in the world. This morning, this Lord's Day, out of the population of America, 225 million Americans will not worship God. They will not go to church. They don't even have an affiliation. We need revival. God in heaven, would you bless this morning? We pray, God, that you would take over and this would be a powerful message. Again, like last Sunday morning, I've got too much to preach. Too big a passage. The range of truth is far-reaching. And so, God, we pray this morning, your Holy Spirit would take over. and you'd say what you once said to Fundamental Baptist Church. God, we pray you'd bless the radio broadcast whenever it's played on each of the stations. And Jesus, we pray again for Michigan. We pray for Chippewa County. We pray for revival. We pray, God, for Fundamental Baptist Church, that we would become more like Jesus. We're so proud and so arrogant, and all too often we think we really have everything together, and we start trusting ourselves instead of thee. God, again, if there's someone here not born again, may they see their great need of a Savior, of Jesus. And today, may they be born into the family of God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Pastor Josh read Isaiah 44 and verse 3. I will pour out my water on him that is thirsty, and floods upon dry ground. I will pour out my spirit upon thy seed, and blessings upon thy offspring. Here's a prayer that we need to be praying to God. The title of the message, if I get to that portion of the scripture this morning, is, it's going to rain. This is in light of revival. This is in light of the drought that is in the land concerning the things of God. Unless you think there is not a drought of the things of God today in America, I don't know how you can walk on two legs and still be breathing and be a blood-bought child of God and not realize America's in a bad way. And the next generation is going to be even worse off unless a Holy Spirit revival comes. In fact, many in this present generation who knew no better turned their back on God. Now, it's always been that way to some degree, but it just seems today the devil is fighting a two-fisted battle. He's fighting in an even more powerful way, and he's using tactics that are more dastardly than ever before. And those that are shallow thinking, fleshly thinking, carnal thinking, they bite the bait. They're getting sucked right into it. As a people of God, we need to be revived. And I'm not talking about the people in the far reaches of America or even around the world or down way downstate. I'm talking about this old man right here. I'm talking about the people that are seated in the church pews at Fundamental Baptist Church this morning and on the platform and downstairs in the lower level and whatever other buildings they're in this morning. We need an old-fashioned Holy Spirit revival. These are days of apostasy. These are days when men are waxing evil and worse, just like the Word of God told us was going to happen. And don't smile about it and take it casual. Don't do that as a child of God. I think for the most part, we're pretty serious here about this. We have the joy of the Lord. We know what it is to laugh. We know what it is to shed tears. We understand what the battle of life is about. But we need to have a vivid understanding this morning that just as it was in the days of Israel, in the days of Ahab, there is a drought in the land. And before there can ever be a harvest, the only way the drought is going to be taken care of is if the rains come. I mean a deluge from heaven. I mean a gully washer. I mean a soaking like this generation has never known. I mean a gentle breeze from Zion, where God visits his people. Here's what we need today in Chippewa County. I'm saying all of this in light of our revival conference in June. And we have revival before that and build towards that. We need a visitation from God in Chippewa County. I mean to shake the very foundations of some people's lives. I don't want it to come because of tragedy. It may be measured out that way in some people's lives. I don't want that. I don't think God wants that. I think if we'll listen to God and we'll heed God, he's not going to have to chastise us. And that tragedy isn't, you say, Pastor, you're kind of scaring me right now. We've got to get serious. We've got to get serious because souls are in the balances. Whether I make $8 an hour or get a promotion to make $15 an hour, that really isn't what's important. Your calling and my calling in this world in which we're living is not to make money. Not to make a living. We're to be children of God. We're to be children of light. We're to reach our neighbor with Christ. We're to tell them of Jesus. Well, Israel was in a bad way. Ahab was a terrible king. They'd turned to Baal worship right in the land. Temple of Baal had been built, and Ahab was behind it 100%. Look at chapter 18. And it came to pass that after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah the third year, the prophet, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab and I'll send rain upon the earth. Ahab's been looking for Elijah because Elijah made a pronouncement because of the sins of God's people, there was going to be a drought in the land. The result of the drought was a great famine. That drought, it had not rained for 3 years. For now, all of a sudden, water is a precious commodity. And God tells Elijah, you go and you show yourself to Ahab. Ahab had a 22-year evil reign. 3 years without rain, R-A-I-N. Things were going bad. Old King Ahab is their leader. In Ahab's household is the governor of the household, a man named Obadiah, who is a godly man. It says in verse 2, Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. You say, preacher, I thought you said there was a drought. There was. There was no rain. There was a drought. Therefore, no crops. Then there's a famine. I'm saying there's a drought of the power of God in the church of Jesus Christ. That's why a lot of churches have no harvest. People are not getting saved. They've gutted the gospel and turned to another message of entertainment or self-betterment. And I'm just saying, yeah, we're supposed to get better. And yeah, God isn't against us having fun. But we're to honor God. And we're to do things God's way. And because there is a famine today of the power of God, the reason for that is there's a drought. And we're going to find out at the end of this message, Elijah gives a message to King Ahab. He says, you go tell the king, it's going to rain. And I'm praying this morning that'll be the message we hear from heaven concerning certain revival. It's going to rain. And don't be left on the outside looking in. You'll be involved. I hope you're reading your 4 chapters a day. Man, that's the big challenge. I hope that when you get done reading those 4 chapters every day, you feel like you've taken a spiritual bath, because you will. I hope you're spending time in prayer the first Wednesday of every month in prayer and fasting for this statewide revival, because I'll tell you what, if you pray every time you get hungry on that Wednesday, you're going to turn into a prayer warrior. And I had a man tell me that this last year. He said, man, I prayed like I never prayed before, and I feel good about it too. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Yeah, every time you get hungry, you cry out to God, God, we need revival in Chippewa County. God, would you bless our young adults? Would you help our young people? Would you help our old people? God, would you rain upon the church again? Would you send old time revival and everybody getting involved? Because I'm telling you, right at the beginning of this message, it's going to rain. I don't know if you can hear the distant thunder or not, but it's going to rain. You know, like that summertime after a long period of time where it hasn't rained and you can hear thunder in the distance. Rumbling. Well, it's a sweet sound, especially when you're dependent on that rain. And you know what? It's going to rain. Don't get left out. Look at verse 7 in chapter 18. We're going to skip some verses. You read them, the verses in between. Verse 7 says, and as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. What happened is Ahab said to Obadiah, you go that way, you look for some water, I'll go this way, I'll look for some water, I'll look for some pasture, the horses are going to die, everything's dying, man, we're at the end, you go that way, Obadiah, I'm trusting you, then come back and you tell me if you find anything, I'll tell you if I find anything. As Obadiah's traveling, his paths cross with Elijah. He came to, and behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him and fell on his face and said, art thou that my Lord Elijah? He said, Elijah, is it you? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And Obadiah said, and we'll not read it. He said, oh, wait a minute. I'll be a dead man if I go tell him you're here. And he comes here and you're not here. And this has happened several times in the past where he's not been able to find you. He's looked in every nation. He can't find you, Elijah. He's looking. And of course, he wants to punish Elijah. That's what that's all about. Because he thinks the reason for all the drought is Elijah, the prophet of God. And again, misrepresented and misunderstood. And that wasn't it at all. The reason for the drought was the sins of God's people. And Elijah said, oh, no, I'll be here. God told me to meet with Ahab. I'll be here. You go tell him, Obadiah. And he goes through that little discussion there. Verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? It's amazing to me how this wicked, evil world that wants to run their own lives and make their own decisions, every time evil comes into this world, they blame God. God is not the fault of all the evil and all the sin and all the debauchery going on in the world today. That is man's fault. That's man making his own choices. That's man choosing to rebel against God and then blaming God afterwards. You talk about being misrepresented. How many people I've witnessed to over the years, when we start talking a little bit of theology, they say, well, why is all this evil? Why are all the hungry children? Don't blame that on God. That's man's doing. That's a result of man's sin. God has made a way out. His name is Jesus. God will meet every need, but we've got to turn back to him. And again, misrepresentation. And you know this. I hope you understand this. Before this is all said and done, and even in politics you can see this being done, where we are blamed and we are called bigots. And we're not the bigots. We're called sexists. And we're not the sexists. We're called people that are haters. And we're not the haters. They did that to Jesus as well. They accused him of crimes he was not guilty of. Man, he was guilty of no sin. He was completely innocent, the Son of God. And that's just the way the world is. The godly, Paul told Timothy, shall suffer persecution. Beware when all men speak well of you. So there it is. Elijah, it's your fault. This drought has come because of you and God's people. That's what Ahab was saying. In verse 18, he says, and he answered, and this is Elijah being bold, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. They turned their back on God's word. They turned their back on the commands of God. And then when everything starts going wrong, they blame God. That's the mindset of this. That's the worldview in our culture today. But understand this, Elijah, being that bold prophet of old, stands before Ahab and said, I'm not the problem, and we are not the problem. You are the problem. Verse 19 says, now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel. Mount Carmel was a high a piece of property on the Mediterranean Sea, a mountain range. It was 1,635 feet above sea level. It's high ground there. And he says, I want you to get all the prophets of Baal and all the prophets of the groves, and I want them to meet me on Mount Carmel. Let me read it here very quickly. Again, verse 19, therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, that's 850 false prophets, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? I love the practicality of the prophet Elijah. It's an impractical union for evil and good to work together. There's so many trying to do that today in modern religion. They're trying to take the world and live in the world and put Jesus and his title and his word on it and call that good and call that godly. And that's not how it works. And that's what the prophet Elijah was saying here. He's saying, I want you to get the prophets of Baal. I want you to get the prophets of the grove, 850 men, get them out by Mount Carmel. I want all of Israel to be there. There's going to be a standoff. He's bold. Says in the latter part of verse 21, I'll better read all of 21. Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under. And I'll dress the other bullock, and lay it on the ground, and put no fire under it. And here's what he's saying. There's going to be two sacrifices. We'll let the prophets of Baal, 450 of them, just the prophets of Baal, they'll go ahead and they'll take one of those bullocks and they'll place them on the altar of Baal, and they can cut it up and lay it there as a sacrifice, but don't make any fire. No phony religion. And let the prophets of Baal call upon Baal to send fire and consume that sacrifice. I'll take that over here, and I'll build an altar unto the Lord. He had to rebuild it because it was gone. Take 12 unhewn stones, one stone for each of the tribes of Israel. And that, in other words, it's God's religion, not ours. Hands off, man. You just follow God. That's how you worship God. All right. So he said, I'll take those unhewn stones, then I'll build an altar out of 12 stones. I'll cut up the bullock all by myself, and I'll lay the wood thereon, and then I'll place the bullock thereon. You pray first. It's home field advantage. I'll let you go ahead and pray. And they prayed all morning long. Nothing happened. No fire. They're a little bit embarrassed. They prayed all afternoon. No fire. They cut themselves. The Bible used the word gushed. Blood gushed from them. You see, these are sincere men. They were sincerely wrong. They're jumping up on the altar. They're jumping all around the altar. They're crying unto Baal. Baal, come please, Baal, send fire from heaven. Show you're the mighty God of heaven. And Elijah, about midday, he begins to mock them just a little bit. No fire. Verse 27 says, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he's talking or he is pursuing. It's kind of humorous there. The word pursuing. Perhaps your God Baal is taking a bathroom break. That's what he's saying there. Elijah's bold as brass. Maybe you need to cry a little louder. He cannot hear you. Or maybe he's in the John, if I could say it that way. Because that's the kind of God you're really worshiping, a man-made God. He says, cry aloud, for he is God. Either he's talking, or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth. Old man Baal, he's getting old, you know, he has to take some naps. Maybe he's sleeping, and he must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass that when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any answer, nor any that regarded. All day. Nothing. No fire. A man-made God. By the way, a God that you have to defend isn't really a God. There's one God, Lord God, omnipotent. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that triunity, that Trinity, Elohim, the Godhead, the Lord God, capital G, no S, Jehovah. What a mighty God we serve. Verse 30 says, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. Now, Elijah, I can't wait to meet him someday. I think he's just a little bit theatrical. He's making a point. This man's a good preacher. This man is preaching the truth. And he says to all Israel, once they're done, I can see the prophets of Baal over there laying on the side, all just tired, all just, you know, and some of them blood all over them and everything else. Nothing's happened. He said to all Israel, come near. And they come near on the mountainside. And let's read on here. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. That was a sermon. Old man Elijah picked up one stone at a time, that unhewn stone, and brought it, maybe rolled it, however he got it there, and he stacked them up and repaired the altar of the Lord. Maybe that needs to happen in your home. Or the altar needs to be repaired. I've got to speed up. I want to finish this, and I don't have a lot of time. I can't believe how quickly it's gone. But repaired the altar of the Lord. Verse 31, Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And the stones, and with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. The truth is, I don't really know how big that is, and nobody really knows how big that is, but he put a big trench around the altar. So what's that all about? Because he's going to pour water on this altar. And you need to remember, water is precious. It's a drought. 3 years of drought. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels of water. We really don't know how big those barrels are. It's the Hebrew word kad. If they were 55-gallon barrels, like I think in my mind, you think in yours, he's going to end up pouring 660 gallons of water over this altar. The water, the altar, the wood, the meat, the stones, the trench, it's all going to be soaked. And he sends them down 3 times to the Mediterranean Sea. Because that's where the water was, and these men brought up this water and poured it on the altar. You say, man, isn't Elijah being a little theatrical here? He's making a point. Man cannot stop God. Man can, no matter how he may try to fight against God, he will not win. The prophets of Baal couldn't call down fire. Now the altar of God is rebuilt, and it is soaked and wet. It is dripping. And he says in verse 34, and he said, do it a second time. They did it a second time. Do it a third time. They did it a third time. And the water ran round about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah, the prophet, came near. And I'm sure there was a great hush. Everybody's wondering, what is going on? And Elijah the prophet lifts up his hands and listens to what he says here with poetic eloquence. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God, definite article, in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Now, we're going to talk about revival here. My message is almost done, but he's getting to revival so that Israel had come back to God. That's why all of this was done. Look at verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. That's pretty intense. Elijah raises his hands in one simple prayer. There's no bloodletting. There's no jumping around like an idiot. He said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, send fire. And pow! I mean, was it a lightning bolt? I have no idea, but you know everybody fell. In fact, look at the next verse. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, he is, definite article, the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there's the sound of abundance of rain. There's the title of my message. I'm now ready to preach my message. I'm going to preach it next Sunday morning, all right? But there's the sound of abundance. Elijah said, Ahab, you better go feed your face because you're going to have to get on a journey real quick because pretty soon your chariot is not going to work in the highways and the byways of this countryside and you're going to have to get back to the palace. And you know why? Because it's going to rain. And no mistake why the rain was coming. It was God. I'm telling you, June the 22nd through the 25th, in our revival conference, if we here at Fundamental Baptist Church will just get ready, if we will make preparations, it's going to rain. Don't let your family be left out. Don't you be left out as an individual. I don't know if you can hear the distant thunder, but many times I can now. Here's the deal. The closer you get to God, the more you hear those kinds of things. You sense it. You know. It's going to be so big that the only answer for it, the only reason for it happening, will be God. Right now there's a drought. We need the rains of heaven. We need the deluge. We need a monsoon from heaven. An old-fashioned, when we lived on Shunk Road, I remember we used to call them gully washers. That's what we got to have from God. Then there'll be a harvest. When the church gets revived, sinners will get saved.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.